We believe there is only one true God. And yet that can be a bit misleading because by saying that we are often lumped into the same category as Muslims and others who say that there is only one true God. For we as Christians are not simply monotheists, we are Trinitarians. We are Trinitarian monotheists, for we believe that the one true God exists in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, this has caused Christianity at various times to come into a lot of criticism. The earliest heresies in the Christian faith and the earliest battles over the faith concerned the Trinity, the oneness and the threeness of God. And whenever Christianity there's been movements away from the truth, for example, with the introduction of rationalism and the influence of rationalism in the United States in the late 1700s and the early 1800s, one of the first Christian doctrines that is jettisoned is the doctrine of the Trinity. For after all, it is really hard to understand, it is really hard to explain. Every analogy that you ever hear offered to explain the Trinity very quickly fails, because it runs into one really kind of a heretical concept or another. They all end up denying either the true oneness of God or the true threeness of God. But on the other hand, is it not a testament to the revealed nature of the Christian religion, the fact that no person in their right mind who was inventing a religion would have as a foundational truth something as difficult to conceive of or understand as the Trinity? If we're going to make up a religion that we want to see myriads of people coming into, we're going to make sure that it is stocked with easy, breezy, and appealing truths. Stuff that is easy to explain and goes down very easily. The Trinity certainly does not fall into that. One of the strongest proofs, really, for the Trinity as being of the nature of God is what happens when you take it away. What happens to a person? What happens to a marriage, to a family, to a community? What happens to a nation when you remove the bedrock of the oneness and the threeness of God? Well, over time, they all begin to fall apart. Over time, you will see that marriage, that family, that community, that nation trending in one of two directions. You will see it trending in a direction in which the oneness of the government, of society, of authority becomes dominant, which means they're going to be moving in a direction of totalitarianism, where all authority that is held to be legitimate will be absolutized. You see this in Muslim nations. Every level of authority is conceived of as being an absolute authority, because if God is only one, he is a single lone being, and that is the very nature of reality, then a number of very negative things come from that. All authority is absolute authority. Another negative consequence that comes from that is that it cannot be of the very essence or nature of God that he would be relational or personal or loving, because there would be no one for God to be relational with, personal with, or loving toward unless and until God creates. And then if God is in creation, if he happens to do something that is kind or loving or personal, or he happens to have a relationship. It is simply something that he decided to do one day. It cannot be of his essence, because there was nothing else there for him to be relational, personal, or loving toward. And so anything benevolent that God does under that kind of a conception simply tells you what he did one day. It does not tell you who he is. Because in the essence of his being, he is alone. He is solitary. And so the only things that go to the absolute essence of God are his power, his raw power, his raw authority. And that is what you tend to see then replicated in faiths and philosophies who hold to that kind of a conception of God or ultimate reality. It is because of the Trinity. It is because God, the one God, eternally exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who eternally have had a relationship with one another, who eternally have been personal with one another, who have eternally loved and honored one another, in spite of the fact that there is a structure and a relationship there. It's not a commune of thing one, thing two, and thing three. It is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because of all of that, God's love goes as deeply into his essence as his omnipotence or his omniscience or his wisdom. It goes all the way back in the being of God. And what that means for us as Christians is that God is not behind the curtain, and it's not dark back there behind the curtain. What God has done for us in creating us in his image, what God has done for us in Christ and sending him to the cross to save us, to bring us back to him, it doesn't simply tell us nice things that God did one day, but who knows what he will do in the future. You see, it's not dark backstage. God has opened the curtains through what he has done. And what he has done truly tells us who he is. What God has done for us in creation and in redemption through Christ shows us who God is. And God never changes. God is the God of love. That's why John can say God is love. It goes all the way through his being. It is the nature of God to create us in his image. It is the nature of God to speak to us and reveal himself to us. It is the nature of God to call us to a personal relationship with him. It is the nature of God to give himself that he could bring us back to him. That's who God is. We only know that because God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In that name, amen.